Greetings, friends and new listeners, and welcome to the Archie Harding Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, greeting you with thanksgiving for tuning in today, because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm very excited for you to hear today's message by myself and my dad, Brother Hardy. It is tremendously eye-opening to the cause and effect of demonic harassment, oppression, and bondage that many Christians experience and what to do about it. Find out now in today's message, Cleansing Your Home of Spiritual Leprosy.
Praise the Lord. This morning we're ministering on the subject, Cleansing Your Christian Home of Spiritual Leprosy. And we're going to go into the scriptures and lay the foundation. We're going to begin in the book of Leviticus. If you have your Bibles, I trust that you do. Then turn to Leviticus, the 14th chapter. Now, I will encourage you that later on when you go home, that you read the entire 14th chapter. But we will not read the entire chapter this morning. We're going to focus in on verses 33 through 45. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, starting with verse 1 and going to where we will begin, God gives Moses the commandments on how to cleanse a leprous person. The individual, the leper, the one who is found to have leprosy, goes before the priest. The priest says, you're a leper, and there God gives the commandments of how he is to be cleansed. But we're going to go into the portion of this chapter in Leviticus where God gives Moses commandments on how to cleanse the leprous house. How many know that your house can have leprosy? If you never heard of that before and you didn't know that, you're going to find out this morning that your house can have leprosy. And in the Word of God, leprosy is always symbolic of sin and iniquity and evil. It was a terrible plague in those days. And in some nations of the world today, there are still terrible plagues of leprosy. We here in the Western world are not very acquainted with it. And we don't really appreciate, possibly we cannot understand how terrible it was for someone to be found to be leprous. They were totally cut off from all society. They were cut off from family, loved ones. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't abide with their family. They were put outside of the city until they were cured of their leprosy. And now we're going to deal with what it is to have a leprous house. And we're in the 14th chapter of Leviticus and starting with verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the leg of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go in to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. He shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city, or outside of the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust, and they shall scrape off without the city into an unclean place. They shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and they shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. Now, if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he hath taken away the stones and he hath scraped the house and he has plastered it, then shall the priest come and look, And behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. The house is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber of it, and all the mortar of the house, and carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. So here we have the instructions what to do about a house in which is leprosy. And again, we know that this means in which a house in which there is sin and iniquity and an abomination unto God. When someone looked in their house and they began to see that there were depressions in the wall, and they begin to see these mildew-like streaks in the wall, and the scripture said lower than the wall, meaning it was coming up from the foundation, and they saw and beheld on the wall this mildew-like thing, this fungus or this growth, then they had to go and tell the priest and say, come. And the priest would say, first empty everything out of your house, because if I go in there and I pronounce the house unclean, everything in the house is unclean. So they would empty out the house. The priest would come in. He would look at it. He'd say, this is unclean. This is a plague. This is leprosy. And when he would do that, he would shut the house up, and no one could enter in for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, the priest would go in, and if he saw that, in fact, the plague had still there in the house and spread more in the house, he called them in, and they had to take and cut the stones out of the walls. Remember, their houses were made of stones. Anywhere that the streaks were, they had to take and dig the plaster and the mortar out. They had to thoroughly scrape all the walls. They had to take the dust that came off the walls and the stones that they took out. They had to take them outside of the city to an unclean place. And then they had to shut the house up again. And when the priest came back again, if he beheld, and lo and behold, the leprosy was there once again, even after they had put in new stones and new plaster and new mortar, when he saw that the plague had broke out again, he said, this house is not fit to dwell in. You've got to tear it down. You've got to take down the stones. You've got to take down the timber. You've got to demolish the entire house and take it outside of the city to an unclean place. What I want you to know about these houses is, you might say, well, now, what's going on here that these houses have this plague in it? I want you to back up into the scripture that we read in verse 34. God said, when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put a plague in the house. Who put the plague of leprosy in the house? You mean the devil didn't do it? You mean God put a plague of leprosy in their house? Why did God put a plague of leprosy in their house? Why would God do such a thing? Why did God let this house break out with these symptoms, with this mildew and this fungus? Why did God allow this thing to come out into the open and be exposed so that the priest would come and say it's got to be torn down? Because remember, he says, you're coming into a land of Canaan that I am giving you for a possession. If we go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, we will read that God told them, you're going to go into a land that's already inhabited. And I'm going to chase out the inhabitants of that land. I'm going to chase out the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all of those Amorites and all of those people. And I'm just going to let you come in and take over. And you're going to live in houses that you didn't build. And you're going to drink from wells that you didn't dig. And you're going to eat from vines. And you're going to eat from trees that you didn't plant. Because I, the Lord God, am going to give it to you for your possession. In other words, he said, you're going into a city already built. You're going to take over an area that's already got houses and wells and farms and vineyards. All you got to do is move in. He said, all you got to do is possess it. But think about this now. He said they're houses that you did not build. Well, who built them? The Canaanites, the Amorites, the Amalekites, and all the Ites. They built the houses. And what I want you to know is, from the time that God first brought them out of Egypt till the time they finally went walking into Jericho, their first city of conquest, how many years expired? 40 years. Now you know that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Now they weren't supposed to, but that's another message. The fact is, from the time he brought them out of Egypt to the time they went into Jericho, it was 40 years. How many know that's a long time? Amen. To make a journey that should have only taken about a week or so or two. But the point I want you to see, I want you to read this, because I'm paraphrasing a lot for the sake of time, but I think we should read this. Let's turn to Joshua, the second chapter. 40 years later, okay, Moses is dead. Joshua's the leader. God says, Joshua, it's time to take the people in. You know the story that first Joshua sent in the spies into Jericho. How many remember? And how many remember when the spies got in there, they went on the wall into the house of a harlot named Rahab, and she hid them. How many remember that? Now, this is what I want you to hear, what this woman said to those spies when they came in, Joshua 2 and 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. Or in other words, the fear of you is fallen upon the people of Jericho, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint with fear because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And we've heard of what he did to those two kings of the Amorites, Og and Zion. We heard about those giant kings that the Lord just utterly mowed down in front of you. And he listened to this. And she said, we heard how that you utterly destroyed them. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So what she was saying, what I want you to understand is, this is 40 years later. Not a week later, not a month later, not even a year later. 40 years later, the people of Jericho were still trembling in their boots. They were still terrorized at the thought that the Israelites were on the way. I mean, years had gone by, decades had gone by, but those people, the stories that had come to them of how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, how God rolled back the Red Sea, how God utterly destroyed every enemy before them, 40 years later, those stories still brought fear to the hearts of those people, and they had no courage. They knew sooner or later that the children of Israel were going to come knocking at their door. And for 40 years, they were looking over their shoulder. And for 40 years, they were ready to get their suitcases and flee. Every time there was a ruckus outside of the city walls, they thought it might be those Israelites. It might be those children of the Most High God. She said, we fear because of you. Now, what does that got to do with this leprosy business? Now, if you knew that at any time, a foreign nation was going to invade America. You just didn't know when, but you knew they were coming. And when they did, you were not going to be able to withstand them. Chances are you would have your bags packed, an emergency bag. Chances are you'd have emergency supplies, maybe down in your basement or something. You would be ready to go somewhere safe. And for 40 years, those people were ready to flee because they knew the Israelites were coming. But they didn't know when, and they might have come in the middle of the night. Chances were good they would come while they were sleeping and while they weren't expecting them. And they probably thought in their mind, there's nothing we can do when they come in. They're going to take the land. They're going to take the city. They're going to take our houses. They're going to take our vineyards. They're going to take all our property. But you know what? I'm going to keep something. They're not going to get my silver. They won't get my gold. I'll hide it. I'll hide it somewhere so that if they come in unexpectedly or in the middle of the night, I'll have it hidden. And research says, and this is recorded in the Talmud, which is the Jewish commentaries and the Jewish record of history, that those people in those cities took their silver and gold idols and buried them in the walls of the house and in the foundation of the house and behind the stones and under the floor, so that when the Israelites came and they'd have to flee their homes, that silver and that gold and their idols would be hidden away, and maybe sometime they might recover it. And this is what they did. And God knew that those things were in the walls. And God knew that those abominable idols were in the floors of those homes. And God knew where they were hidden. How many say amen? Oh, man might not know, but God knows the secret things. He knows the secret sins. He sees what goes on behind closed doors. And so when God allowed the leprosy to break out in the house, because we read, he said, I put it there. It was because God knew what was lurking in the foundation of those homes. He knew what was lurking behind the walls and the stones of those homes. And God did not want his people dwelling in an unclean house with idols and demons. Because wherever there's idol worship, there's demons. God didn't want his people in those kinds of houses. And it didn't matter if they slapped new plaster on the walls. And it didn't matter if they stuck new stones on the walls. It didn't matter if they painted it. It didn't matter if they wallpapered it. God said, there is sin. There is iniquity. There is an abomination hidden in this house, and I want it out. In fact, God said, I want it destroyed and cut down. And history says that when they would begin to dismantle those homes and tear them down, like God said they not only had to tear them down, they couldn't just leave them there a pile of rubble. They had to carry it out of the city to an unclean place. And when they began to dismantle those places, they found those idol gods in the walls, under the foundation. And God wanted the iniquity and the evil exposed. He wanted it exposed. He wanted it to be rid of. And that's where we're going today. God wants us to expose the iniquity and the abominations that may be in our houses. Some things we know about, some things we don't know about. But today we hope to give you an education of what to look for, because you may be totally innocent and ignorant of some of these things, and you may not be aware of it. Now, some of it, you may be willfully doing these things, but the Holy Ghost is going to convict you today. Notice I didn't say Sister Sharon, and notice I didn't say Brother Hardy. I said the Holy Ghost. He's the convictor. Today, some of you are going to go out here, and you won't be any different. You will be unchanged. But some of you are going to go out of here transformed, and you're going to have a difference in your home. So now we're not going to read the rest of the chapter. You can read it later. After they exposed all this evil, after they got rid of all of these idols, that wasn't the end of the story. Then they had to go and sanctify the home. Now they went through the same procedure for the home as they did for a leprous person. And it was a drawn out procedure, because he had to be cleansed with the blood. He had to be cleansed with clean running water. He had to be sanctified with the oil. Now, we are going to tell you how you can do the similar thing to your home. We don't need to go kill a bird and take its blood. We've got the blood of Jesus. They were before the cross. We're after the cross. All we have to do is have faith in the blood of Jesus. And how we have faith in the blood of Jesus is not only receive it, first of all, for our own covering of our sins, but after that, as Christians, that gives us the authority to use the name of Jesus. You can say in the name of Jesus until you get hoarse. If you don't have the blood of Jesus on your life, it won't do you any good. It won't do a thing. But if you have the blood of Jesus on your life, then you're authorized, and in fact, you're deputized to use the name of Jesus. So this is the first thing you got to do. First, you must expose and evict the evil. Look at somebody and say, first, you must expose and evict the evil. Don't try to bless a house that's got evil in it. How many say amen? That's like taking a pig out of the pigsty and putting a pink bow on him. You've got to evict the evil first. How many understand that by the scripture we read? Later on, Brother Hardy is going to tell you how you can actually bless and sanctify your home. He's going to give you the steps. He's going to give the oil, and we'll begin to give it a handout with the oil so that when you go home and you say, what was all that? It was so much, you'll have it to refer to, and you can have your own blessing in your home. But the first thing you must do not go home and start blessing your house till you house clean. That's number one. You don't come home from work and take off your filthy, greasy clothes that you've been working on some car with and go put on your suit without taking a bath. Do you? No, you take a bath and then you put on your clothes. And you got to clean your house up before you anoint it. Now, what do you know what to look for? And also, this is a twofold thing I'll be telling you. What to look for now and in the future, how to keep evil from coming back. How to keep the plague from returning to your home. I'm going to give you a lot of information. Some things I won't be able to take as much time as I'd like to, but I think you'll get the idea. And you will begin to, your mind will begin to tell you things in your own home that need to be taken care of. After your house is cleansed, you want to keep all these things in mind. The first thing I want to talk about is this. Do not bring in worldly, ungodly things into your home. Now that's a general thing. Let me tell you what the wise man said. Why the wise man said, Solomon that is, take hold. It says in the King James, let us take, but it's much more powerful than that. Take hold of the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. A lot of times the trouble starts with the little things, the little subtle things, the little nuances that are going on in your home where the enemy gets a foothold, where the fox comes in and begins to nibble away at the vine. Before you know it, the vine is dying, the vine is dead, and you're barren spiritually. So let me premise everything I'm going to say by remembering this. You take hold of the little foxes that spoil the vine. Do not bring in unclean music, books, videos, television into your home. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 101. Very powerful, powerful psalm. David said in verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? Now he's inviting the Holy Presence to come to him. Listen to this. I will walk within my house. He didn't say the church. He didn't say the temple. He said within my house with a perfect heart. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Is this speaking to you today? David is saying, I will behave myself wisely. The word means I will exercise discernment. When you're a discerning person, you make wise choices about what you will and will not do, about what you will and will not accept and tolerate. Some people swallow everything. Some people reject everything. God wants you to be a discerning person. He wants you to have a mind and a spirit that is led by the Spirit of God based on the Word of God that you can discern. David said, I will behave myself with discernment. And he said, I will walk in a perfect way. Now, perfect, do not think to yourself the English idea of perfect. Perfect is someone who is without fault. But this is not what the word means. The word would be better interpreted or translated integrity. I will walk with integrity in my house. I will walk in my house with a heart of integrity. Integrity means that you are a person of character. It means that you will attain to God's highest standards. And this is how you and I are to conduct ourselves in the house of God. We are to have a godly standard. Let me tell you something. If you are going to have a standard by what comes over your television, you have a very good chance of not making heaven. Did you hear what I said? If you let the television be your standard, you have a good chance of backsliding. But David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will not put it before mine eyes. And he didn't even have TV back then. How many say amen? That's a strong and powerful statement. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look upon a maiden. In other words, he said, I will not look with lust. I told my eyes, you're not going to look with lust. I told my eyes, you're not going to sit down in front of the television and watch a bunch of garbage. I told my eyes, you're not going to look at all of these videos that have adultery and homosexuality and all of this poison coming out of it. I told my eyes, you're not going to sit in front of that thing. How many say amen? Jesus said this. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You think that's harsh? You think I'm harsh? What did Jesus say? He said, if your eye offends you, to pluck it out. He said, it's better for you to go to heaven missing one of the members of your body than to go into hell fire with two eyes. How many say amen? And if you let it, the television will suck the very spiritual life out of you. And if you let it, the television will poison your children until they'll become so tolerant to homosexuality. They'll become tolerant to all the filth of the world. Because now there's nothing that is barred. There's nothing that is sacred anymore. There's nothing. The family's not sacred. God's not sacred. The word of God is not sacred. Anything goes. And especially this, with all the sitcoms when they laugh at all the jokes of the homosexuals and all the jokes of the sexual immorality. Because if you laugh at it and it's funny and it makes you laugh, some people say, but it's so funny. And that makes it all right, see? Because it's funny and entertaining, it's all right. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to become insensitive. He wants you to become desensitized. He wants you to become so accustomed to the abnormal and the aberration and the abomination that it becomes the normal thing. And if you sit in front of that TV, that's what it'll do to you.
Amen. I trust you are being spiritually awakened by this hard-hitting but vital message, cleansing your home of spiritual leprosy. Have you ever given thought to the ways that you may be opening the doors of your home and exposing yourself and your family to the demonic realm? It could be through music, television, videos, books, jewelry, home decor, and even your children's toys. With the rise of New Age and occultic influences in America, you would be amazed how the enemy has found open doors into Christian homes through seemingly harmless products and practices that are rooted in darkness and satanic inspiration. It's time to shut the door and evict your home of the evil, because before you can consecrate and bless your home unto God and His protection, you must first clean house and evict the evil influences. Since the Lord gave us this message, it has been one of our most popular teachings because it brings deliverance and God's shalom to your home. This 2-CD set is a double header. It includes my teaching followed by preaching and a powerful prophecy given by my father, Brother Hardy. When you order this 2-CD set, Cleansing Your Home of Spiritual Leprosy, for a love gift of $15 or more for the radio ministry, we will include instructions how to identify and cleanse your home of evil, as well as a vial of anointing oil to consecrate your spiritually cleansed home to God. Send your love gift of $15 or more for the radio ministry and request offer 300. That's offer 300. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or if you prefer, go online at archiehardy.org. That's archiehardy.org. Again, order Cleansing Your Home of Spiritual Leprosy and send your love gift of $15 or more to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.